The reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, which can be found on page 693 of the Church Bibles. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on, forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Amen. Thank you very much indeed, Megan and Tom. That's great. Now the children will leave for. Thank you. And as they leave, I shall just introduce colleague Lewis. So I'm sure Lewis and Aileen are probably known to quite a few of you here, but Lewis has been very involved with Nations over many, many, many years, and so I'm going to ask him to just come and just give a bit of an update on some of the other young people that you have seen us bring along over the last few years and now in different parts of the world. Thanks, Lewis.
Good morning, everyone. Can I just say thank you for making the young people who we'll make mention of very welcome in this church. It's really good, and I hope I can just flick on. You'll perhaps recognise this young man, Nelson, from Shillong in northeast India. And presently, Nelson has embarked on 2 years of study in Singapore. You'll know he's very much a right-hand man in the New Life Ministry in Shillong, and he is investing 2 years of training, ready to play a more significant part in that ministry afterwards. He went to, the time he spent here, we had a great time with him. He's a great fella. And he went back with a real heart to train the students, not only for evangelism in the local areas in the region they're in, but to send them out on mission to neighbouring countries. And he wanted to include study in specialist areas so that, for instance, music and sports, so they wouldn't just go out as general missionaries, but be moving into the gifting and the calling that God had put within them. And as he's studying at the moment, he does say that he's struggling a bit with the writing that he has to do, because I imagine all his studying, what have you, is done in English. So we'll pray for him in a moment. And you perhaps might remember Lily as well. Lily came from Mizoram, and a couple of years ago, I believe, you might have seen her wedding video here. But she, before she got married, she was with us in Wellingborough. It was a real blessing. And now with her husband Atul and her daughter Kayla, they live in Delhi. They do struggle a little bit. She notices the difference with the extra heat and the air pollution in Delhi compared to the mountains of Mizoram. But if we could pray for them, they're parenting now as new parents, and their links with the wider family. Atul has had a job, and is diligent at that, but it is a low-paid job, so we're going to pray that God will enrich them as a family and prepare them for his purposes. When Robert was in India, he met two young people on his travels and shared the gospel with them. Those two have now moved to Delhi, so they have been connected with Lily and Atul. That's good, isn't it? So we can pray for that connection as well. And lastly, of course, we have a young man, Jiwon, who is pioneering a mission base in North Africa. Obviously, we know where he is, but we're not broadcasting that in the Islamic context that he's in. But he is actually just, I imagine, safely returned. He was due back in the last day or two for a couple of weeks to just catch up with everyone. I believe he's at the Rushton Church this morning. And Jiwon, in order to stay in the country, is in need of a visa. And God has opened a door for him to teach Korean in a private school there. And to back that up, he's actually doing an online master's course in teaching Korean as well. And as well as that, he does have to do his own language learning to exist and live in that country. He has been diligent, well, you've got to be very sensitive, but in sharing his faith, and he's made two friends with whom he's been able to share the gospel with. We can pray for his own progression in language as he learns. We can pray for his family in Korea. It's not always easy for the son to leave the family in Korea where he has responsibilities. So we pray for them. And he is trusting that on his return now after a couple of weeks and the new term start, that he will gain a new contract for teaching Korean, which will enable his visa. So again, thank you very much for making them welcome. If there's anything else that you want to know, please speak to Robert or I and we'll let you know. But we're going to pray for them now. So may you join me in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you. Each one of us here can perhaps reflect on the day when you spoke into our lives and we had that sense of call from on high to step into a new adventure of faith in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for these three young people that we've met in previous years here who have heard your voice, heard the call, and have gone to other places than where they were brought up and lived in to share the gospel and to follow that adventure in Jesus. And we want to pray for them. We want to bless them, Lord. We want to name them before you. And we pray for Nelson as he studies in Singapore, Lord. We pray that the seeds that have been sown in his heart, the seeds of vision for the future, that they will be nurtured, Lord. We pray for his provision whilst studying there. It costs for him to take this step of faith. And we bless him and pray for him as he studies in Singapore. For Lily, as she enjoys being a new mum, Lord, we pray for them as a little family. We pray that you would bless them, Lord. We pray that a better job might come forth for Atul. And we pray, too, for their contact with these two young people that Robert met on his travels those 2 years ago. We bless them as a family in Jesus' name. And for Jiwon, Lord, it's been personally, it was really great to see a young man, shy, just wondering about faith in God, come through to a real dynamic faith, Lord, and a real confidence in the call of God in his life, and to go and to spearhead a new mission base, Lord, and to make teams from the UK welcome. It's been a joy to see him grow and develop, and we pray that a way will continue to be made for him to be there in that nation, Lord. Grant him a new contract, we pray, when the academic year starts. We pray, Lord, that you would bless him with the provision, Lord, that you would bless his family. May they be proud of a son who has stepped out to follow Jesus and to serve the living God. So we thank you for these three young people, their example, their potential, and their futures. We commit into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Lewis.
That's great.
You may perhaps remember those faces. This is Jiwon right on the right-hand side with friends. So do appreciate continuing prayers for them. Okay, well, I'm just going to now show some of the slides I took my travels in Japan. And that has thrown me now, because I was... I'll start here. I want to concentrate on three things as I go through the presentation. The country, So I'm just going to show some of the slides of my travel around the country. Then the challenge in Japan, and then the hope for Japan. Now I'm going to show a few slides about Japan. Shintoism and Buddhism are the main religions within Japan, and those are the religions that most people in Japan would associate with. Shrines, this is a sort of entrance, typical entrance to a shrine. Shrines associated with Shintoism, temples associated with Buddhism. Christianity is just 1% of the population, a very small number. This is a typical entrance to a shrine. This is the entrance to coming here. Now you can't quite see, this is Todaiji Temple. Now, you only got half the picture there, but this is the entrance to the temple, and there's quite two large figures, one on each side of the entrance. You've just got the lower half. But on one side, the mouth is open. On the other side, the mouth is closed. And that represents, in terms of the god, that the mouth open represents the birth, when babies cry, when they're born. The mouth closed represents death. And it's representing that the gods, and Buddha here in particular, is able to care from birth to death. And as you go into the temple, there is a statue, we haven't got it, of Buddha, the 15-meter tall statue of Buddha, one of the largest statues in the world within this temple. This is the just going to go through the ceremony of what they do when they go up to a shrine. There's the first instance is the cleansing ceremony, and that's so common in so many religions, you know, the purification ceremony. You know, we have this saying, cleanliness is next to godliness, and some people believe that in one sense, that one has to go through a cleansing ceremony. Externally, God looks at the heart. But so there's a washing ceremony. Then as they come up to a shrine, behind these people is a box, and they toss a few coins into the box. And then they bow deeply twice. Then they clap their hands twice. And that is supposedly significant of waking the god up. So here I am, I hope you're listening. And then afterwards they bow deeply once. That is they bow, they clap, and then they bow again. So this is Minjae. You may remember that Minjae was here about the same time that Jiwon was here. Minjae is from Korea. He was here for about 18 months, nearly 2 years. He is now working in Japan, and I spent some time with Minjae in Japan. And it was Minjae had took me to this particular place in Nara where he is living. And Nara has about 7 major Buddhist temples and shrines in that city. Nara was in fact a former capital of Japan, so quite a significant place. And so, and 2 of those temples are World Heritage Sites as well. So Minjae had shown me around the city, and then afterwards he took me up onto what he called his prayer mountain. And this is his prayer mountain where he oversees the whole town of Nara, and so we prayed for Nara as we had been to see all those shrines, temples, and just remembering the lostness of the people in Nara. This is then after the next day, following day, I went to Ise, and Ise is perhaps the spiritual capital of Japan. Again, not too far from Nara. And this is the entrance going over the bridge. This is the river, and again, many people were just going down to the river and just washing their hands and a sense of the cleansing ceremony in the river. This is a typical entrance to a shrine, and a few places where. Well, what struck me was that so many of the people, and if you remember those 3 people I showed previously, bowing and tossing the coin in, all young people. there were all ages were visiting the shrines, but including many, many young people that would go. There would be families. And I also, Minjay told me that very often, young couples who are courting, for a day out, courting couple, they'd go to a shrine or a temple. So part of their makeup and tradition. This is actually a shop where it sold various objects that you could buy for protection. A lot of superstition behind this. And so the prayer, belief that if you buy these objects, you'll be protected through the year. If you offer certain prayers, you'll be protected through the year. You could buy prayer, you'll pay for prayers. You could pay between £50 up to £500. So you could go through a specific ceremony with a priest who would pray for you, and they believe that would give extra protection. The more money they pay, the greater the protection for them. There's some of the priests that were taking part in ceremonies. This is the Naiku, and this is perhaps the central deity within Japan. This is the Amaterasu Omikami. It's the sun goddess, and she is the ancestral deity of the imperial family, sun goddess. And so this is perhaps the most significant shrine within Japan, where many, many people went. And there was a picture at this place, and I think it was in 96, the G7 met there, and you had all the prime minister's presence lining up on the steps. They had been shown, taken to this place as part of their tour. So that's something of the background of Japan in terms of what they believe and the fear, respect, fear they have within that nation. The main reason I went to Japan was to go to a celebration gathering. Now this, we've spoken of celebration for nations in the past. It was a worship prayer event that took part in Wales for 7 years, from 2007 to 2013. It then went to Korea for 2 years, Israel for 2 years. And this is the first year it's been taking place in Japan. It's a worship prayer conference. And so we had various groups that took part, Japanese group, Brazilian, Filipino, Korean, Japanese, Chinese, Korean. This was perhaps the highlight, in one sense, of where there was a worship leader from Japan, worship leader from China, worship leader from Korea. And they had just about 1 week to sort of be preparing and leading worship on this occasion. Now, if you know something of the political tension between Japan and Korea at the moment, it's very, very difficult between those two nations. Now, the tension that is felt now is rooted back into the Second World War, when Korea was occupied by Japan, had been since 1910 for 35 years, and was only got freedom after 1945, received its freedom. So Korea was occupied by Japan, and China was being invaded by Japan during the Second World War. So that's the root of some of the tensions that are being felt. But this was just symbolic of the unity that we have in the family of Christ, that Christians can come together, can worship together, fellowship together, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, in great contrast to the political tensions that exist today. There was a Korean drama group called The Father's Love, and they performed a drama presentation to Hear His Love, Vast as the Ocean. If you know that great revival hymn of the Welsh, they sing Hear His Love, Vast as the Ocean. They were performing a drama presentation to that. And then here's the people who were worshipping together. This young lady is a North Korean. There were a few North Koreans that were at the conference. They would live in South Korea now. They haven't come from North Korea. That would not be possible. But those that have escape from North Korea and live in South Korea, other parts. There were a couple of ladies here. This is one young lady. In fact, these two ladies here she is. Lady holding the British flag, as it so happens, is the one that I've just shown you from North Korea. And the lady in front of her holding the American flag is the other North Korean lady. So those two are from North Korea that were at the conference. There were a few others as well, but it's good to have them. So that was the conference. Now back to some further of my travels. This is Kaigan Church, the first Protestant church in Japan, established in 1872. Just shortly after the first missionaries arrived. There is a leaflet on the table out there. There is some information about some of my travels, and there's a paper about Kaigan Church if you want to read a bit about it. It's written by the pastor of the church in Yokohama. So that's, these are just some pictures with inside Kaigan Church, the oldest Protestant church in Japan. This is a very interesting church. This is a church in Nara, where Minjai lived. Christ Church Nara. If you look at it, it looks very Japanese. It's built in the Japanese style. It's actually built very close to a temple, and so they wanted it built in Japanese style, but very, very interesting. So it looks like a Japanese building, or a Japanese temple even, but you see the cross on the top there. But it's... yeah, architecturally very beautiful, very typical of a Japanese building, yet inside you see some of the furnishings of a church, a typical church, and a very, very large organ at the back of the church, but very, very typical windows here. So that's in Nara. This is also Yamato Christian Church. This is a church where Minjai and his wife Naomi go to. Naomi is an assistant pastor there. She's involved in the youth work. Next year she gets ordained. And Minjai himself is thinking of perhaps getting training for the ministry as well. Quite a large church in Japanese terms. There were probably about 120 in the congregation. But a very elderly congregation. Very typical of Japan. 120 congregation there, but the total number of their Sunday school is about 10. 10 young people, or 10 children, in the junior church as it were, and two or three in their teen 20s. But that's very large compared to an average church that we'll see, as we'll see later. So that's the church in Nara where Minjai, and we'll see a picture of Minjai a bit later. This is similar picture you may have seen. This is the church in Nerayama, where Hugh and Heather Nelson, so you've got Heather in the middle there at the bottom, Hugh to the left at the back there, with their son to your left, is Tomo, their son. They adopted two Japanese boys. You perhaps have seen this picture when Hiroko shared about the church when she did the sponsored walk with a family earlier this year. So this is Hugh and Heather in Nerayama. This is the church building inside. This is a picture of Haidar Gospel House. This is now where Hugh and Heather live, in the place of Haidar. That also Hiroko spoke about that. So the main accommodation is in the middle where they live. There are bedrooms up the top. The bottom building they have converted into a church within Haidar. So this is the inside, what was the garage, I think they converted into the church in Haidar. And this is the church Haidar. So I shared in the Sunday morning in Nerayama church, and then the afternoon they have a service in Haidar. I went along and shared in the church in Haidar. Now, there's only really one member of the church in Haidar. That is the man in the blue t-shirt. He is a local believer, the only local believer they know of in this village, about 3,000 people. So that's Hugh, Heather and Tomo, the son. This lady, Natsuko, is a member of the Nerayama church. But she comes every Sunday. She would travel down to Hedar, about an hour away, to join the church there. She sort of works alongside Hugh and Heather. It's a great help within the church. The gentleman, the local believer, he's quite an evangelist, really, and so he's the regular church attender, but he often brings friends along. And on the Sunday I went, he happened to bring along this friend on the left here, or your right, that came along, but he often just brings along people to the church. So he's pray for him that he will continue to just bring people along to the church. But this is the Izu Peninsula, which has very much been the prayer of Hugh and Heather over the last 5 years in particular. So Hedar is, you see where, this is a Japanese lady, Yukiko, and her Brazilian husband, Saicho. Now they work with another church, and this church has just in the last year planted sort of a church in Toei and a church in Matsuzuki. So those two places. Now, when I say church, actually what they've done is the church has bought a building, and every Sunday, it's quite a big church, so they live stream the service into this building, but there's actually no members in the church as yet. This couple are just trying to invite people in. So although there are church buildings there, there's no people as such. But they are the fruit of the prayers of Hugh and Heather, who've been praying for this peninsula for 5 years. But Niriyama is right at the top of the peninsula. They've moved down to Hedar, which is up on the northern part of this east coast, which is where Hugh and Heather live in Hedar. But this couple, really having planted a church there, are really the fruit of Hugh and Heather's prayers of praying for the Hedar Peninsula. They're the only churches on this west coast. A few more on the east coast, but these are the only ones on the west coast. Hedar, on where these two are starting. So the prayer for Hugh and Heather, they say they've been praying for the peninsula for 5 years. They now, having led the Niriyama church for 18 years, which was the church plant, they now want to pass on that leadership to local believers so that they can concentrate on this Hedar Peninsula. So if you remember Hugh and Heather, that they can find the local leadership they can pass it on to. Most of the members you have seen from the picture are ladies, and so they would like to find a local man as well to form part of a leadership team. It's probably going to be a leadership team. Some of the ladies would be part of that team, but it'd be good to have a male contribution as well. So pray for that they can pass on the leadership, that they can concentrate more on this Hedar Peninsula. Once a month, Hugh, Heather and Natsuka, that lady, go down the peninsula and pray down the peninsula. Well, this is Hugh, Heather and the two sons, Tomo at the front and Jun at the back. That's right. These are, you've probably seen a picture of this, but you gave Samai when Hiroko did the family did the sponsored walks, raised a good sum of money, partly spent on purchasing Bibles, but also teapot, teacups, and an urn, and then we were able to buy some fans when we were out there as well. So that's a very thank you for the gifts. Okay, so that's a brief introduction. I'm going to ask Hiroko now to come and share a little bit about Japan and.
Hi. So when I was asked by Robert if I could help in his presentation, I felt I really didn't want to do it because Japan is a wealthy country and it's not persecuted like North Korea, and it's not got so-called third world poverty, and it's difficult to say why do people need to pray for Japan, and I feel I don't really like promoting Japan for prayer. But I was grateful that people have heart to the Japanese people, because when you go to Japan, you do see the beautiful side of it, but as Japanese, you literally feel just overwhelmed what can be done. I mean, it's 99% people walking towards destruction, and there aren't any good teachings available because, I mean, there are, but not only few churches in the center of Tokyo, and a lot of the churches are quite very small and quite spiritually quite declining, really dry, and you sometimes come back from church being tired on Sunday because the society is too busy. And I think it would be great if even just a small prayer, just to remember alongside with the persecuted church and all the other churches, and the Christians suffering in the world, just to remember the countries like Japan and South Korea and China, where things are different, but still suffering, and especially South Korea, there was revival. In China, because of the persecution, there's a lot of rise in Christianity. But Japanese Christians don't rise in number for many, many years because the church is quite legalistic and it's too busy, and Japanese people work too hard until about 12, 11 quite often. So people don't have time for God, even the Christian people, and then you do kind of suffer being in a church because you have to, it's the culture of the workaholism in the church too. So the people who go to church leave church the same amount, so that's why the number don't rise for a long time. So it's just for children too, it's just not fun being in Japanese church. So it would be great to just to remember that places like that could do with a bit of prayer as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Hiroko. Thank you. Okay, well, this is some of the challenges of the church in Japan. Okay, 6% of church goers, just 6% below the age of 30. Okay, 90% of Japan's pastors are 50 and older. 49% of Japan's pastors are 70 and older. These are a couple of quotes from Japanese pastors, and this was one quote from research. You can form a picture of an average Japanese Protestant church. It has a 60-year-old minister, 70 members, although only half of them will attend church, 25 women, 10 men, 18 of them over 60, and only 2 of them under the age of 30. That would be a typical Japanese church. Here's another quote. Churches in Japan are in crisis, and Christianity in Japan is in crisis. It is a wake-up call for us to reach out to the next generation and disciple them to be Christ-like leaders for the Great Commission. If nothing is done within the next 20 years, more than half of the existing Japanese churches will be without pastors. Now, I won't, there's a prophecy here which we won't read through this time. I'll just highlight a couple of things. But there are, I've got some copies here, and I'll leave these on the table as well. If you're interested in this, to want to know how to pray for Japan, I think this is quite a significant prophecy. But it's, the Lord says, the marshlands that have been allowed to take precedence in the spirit realm shall no longer have the upper hand across the nation of Japan and many nations of the earth. So it's a particular prophecy about Japan. My spirit in the land of the cherry blossoms. The dark habitation, which has been the continual frustration of my people in Japan, shall be a former thing that passes away, says the Lord. For better days for my remnant are at hand, says the Lord. But the breaking of the cast iron fixtures formed and shaped by man must begin, says the Lord. For I shall have no other gods before me. And I just want to reflect on some of the scripture passage that I read, Isaiah chapter 9. Just pick out 3 verses. Verse 2 of Isaiah 9. The peoples who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. That ties in with this cherry blossom prophecy a light will shine in the darkness. Verse 4. The Lord has shattered the yoke that burdens them, the rod of the oppressor. And again, this passage speaks of these cast iron fixtures that need to be cast down. For I shall have no other gods before me. So those two verses in particular tie in with this prophecy. And then verse 6 speaks of the Prince of Peace. Now I spoke about the Prince of Peace earlier when I was speaking about Hiroshima. And there's a great emphasis on peace within Japan. Whenever an emperor comes to his position of authority, they enter a new era. And the last emperor, Akihito, it was called the Heisei era, which translated as achieving peace. That was his sort of mantra for his era, achieving peace. And the new Naruhito, the new emperor, it's the Reiwa era, which is beautiful harmony, again talking about peace. So it's great emphasis on peace, but lack of the Prince of Peace. So that's the challenge. There's then the hope this is going into the hope, really. The hope of the prophecy that will be fulfilled. And the Isaiah 9 is a good passage to pray out of for Japan. And our hope is in the Lord. For people in Japan and through people. God's people in Japan. So just to remember, these people are the hope of Japan, alongside many others, because so many live in darkness. So pray for Hugh, Heather, and family. This is Minjay, Naomi. Naomi was here for about 3 months, so I don't think she ever came to this church. But they really got together while they were here. Later got married, and now they have a little baby, Hanul, born in February, just one day before Lily's baby was born. And that is Naomi's mum. And her parents have been serving in Japan for over 25 years. This is an English lady in another part of Japan I won't share about, but she was the one that has been praying out of Isaiah 9 in particular. She's quite a prophetic young lady, has a real prayer for Japan. So now we will just spend a few moments in prayer. I think Hiroko and Tom will come and share. We'll just pray for Japan, and then have a closing hymn. So I'll hand over to Hiroko, and then Tom, and then we'll close.
Okay, so let's pray for Japan. Father, we thank you that you love all the nations of the world, and you are the God of Gentiles as well, that you reach to the people far, far in the end of the earth, Father. So we thank you that you are going to send your revival in Japan too, that you are going to send your revelation in Japan to you, that you are revealing yourself to Japanese people. Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you're going to pour your spirit out over the country, Father, that somehow the people there will come to know you and see you as true God. And Father, where there's other gods being worshipped, Father, let yourself revealed to the people worshipping other gods. And Father, that you know the heart of Japanese people who wants to worship God. So Father, would you please help them to really come to know the true God that they can worship. Just reveal yourself to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for the materially rich but spiritually poor nation of Japan. Thank you for the freedoms the Japanese have, a democratic nation with freedom of worship. We pray that the church in Japan can expand and act as a light, that it can show the Japanese there is another way and a greater hope in you. Help us too to realise true satisfaction in life can't be found in materialism or the pursuit of human achievements, but in accepting you as Lord and placing you in the centre of our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.
I want to pray for the church in Japan, Lord, that you are the hope and the future of the church. And Lord, statistically, they're facing many challenges. But I pray that you will raise up labourers. Raise up Japanese pastors and younger pastors to be working within the church. Pray for young people in Japan, who so few are within the church, the society. Certain things in society make it very difficult for young people to engage within church. But Lord, we pray that you will build your church in Japan through young people. Pray for the Japanese people who often study overseas and very often come to faith overseas, and then when they go back to Japan struggle a bit getting involved in church. But pray that they would find a home, they would find a prayer for Japan. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up as Lord of the Harvest labourers for Japan, that would go feet shod with the gospel of peace and the message of salvation for the peoples of Japan. So Lord, we lift that nation, those people before you, in the name of Jesus. Amen.